So NPR's Alyson Adworny is still with us, and I'd like you to pick up where we left off. You were saying that universities and colleges are bracing for people to file financial aid appeals. That sounds like there is likely to be wiggle room. There is likely to be flexibility here.
Yeah, and I think this is really important. So it's through the college that has awarded you financial aid. So this is a little bit different. When you fill out your financial aid form, that's the FAFSA, that's through the education department, and that kind of allows you to get aid. But once you're at this point in time, you need to make contact with your school's financial aid office. This is the person that's going to alter your aid. So give you more aid depending on your situation. If you've lost a job, you're facing eviction, you've got some other financial issues. There is an awesome tool called Swift Student. This is a free online tool that will help you navigate the financial aid appeals process. So it can be a little bit wonky. You need tax documents. You need to fill out a letter. So it's called Swift Student. It's new this spring, and it's really helpful for students.
Okay. A lot of concerned parents have written to us about students not spending time at school. Peter in North Ogden, Utah writes, "I'm a parent of ninth grade twins, and my concern is whether this abbreviated school year is going to have a longer-term impact in the next years and on into college. Is there subject matter that's being skipped or skimmed that could leave gaps in their education?" Alyssa, what have you learned about the long-term impact of this pause on students?
So the big thing I'm hearing from educators is the social emotional learning that takes place in school, right?
Like even more than the math and the reading.
Yeah, like school is far more about kind of your connections, your development as a human, especially in high school. These are really formative years. And I think that's really the concern, you know, in addition to the academics, of course, but I think the social emotional piece is really important.
And so what can you tell a parent who doesn't want their child to fall behind in that respect, but also, you know, can't arrange play dates? Their kid can't be on the soccer team anymore.
Well, I think, you know, the school buildings are closed, but school staff is still working. So I think if you have questions about that, like the best person to reach out to is teachers, guidance counselors, principals. The school district folks are there to help. So they have a lot of questions for your guidance counselor. They can kind of navigate through this process. We got a lot of questions about grades because many school districts have gone pass-fail or, you know, they're no longer doing letter grades. And so that's a big concern for parents, especially kind of looking down the road at college.
Right, right.
So colleges know that, right? Like they're going to be lenient. They know that this is a new world.
Okay, we have time for one more question. This one is also about long-term effects, and it comes from Hannah, a high school senior in Palo Alto, California.
A question I have about this whole situation is how you think in the long term this is going to change college and college admissions beyond just next fall or the next academic year.
Interesting, Alyssa. Even after we're past the pandemic, do you think this is going to fundamentally change the way college and college admissions work?
Yeah, I think it may. I mean, colleges basically went from in-person, many colleges went from in-person to online in about 4 days. That is revolutionary. Like, there's a chance that college will never look the same. That's a real possibility. And I think with admissions, I mean, just look at what's happening with test optional. You know, it's taken the pandemic to do that, and I don't know if we can go back.
NPR's Alyssa Nadworny, thank you for answering all these questions for us tonight.
Thanks, Ari.
And if you have questions, we want to help. Go to npr.org/nationalconversation or on Twitter, use the hashtag NPRConversation.